Our Dharma message this morning will be presented by Reverend Saul Kalu, and he entitles his Dharma message, You Only Live Twice. Reverend Kalu.
Let's join our hands together in Gassho. When the time comes for Shinjin, indestructible as diamond, to become settled, Amida grasps and protects us with compassionate light, so that we may part forever from birth and death. From the Wasan, poems of Shinran Shonin, Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu. For some reason this morning, my eyesight is bad. So anyway, good morning, and thank you for coming to this Sunday's morning service. I hope every one of you is in reasonably good health and living in the joy of the Nembutsu teaching. I didn't realize that today is the day before Memorial Day. So I had to modify this Dharma message just a little bit to fit the occasion. Memorial Day, as we all know, is a national holiday in this country, set aside to honor those soldiers and other military people who have given their lives in the defense of this country's ideals and aspirations. Memorial Day is traditionally celebrated by visiting cemeteries or mausoleums, holding family gatherings, and sometimes parades. It is like a big national holiday, a memorial service rather, something similar to our own observance of the Obon season, where those who have departed are once again remembered and honored. Memorial services are an almost an everyday occurrence in this temple, and occasionally we have funeral service as well. Just like yesterday, we had a big one for the late Mrs. Oda. But it is a rather sad thing that a lot of people misunderstand Buddhism as merely a religion for funerals and memorial services. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The Buddha's teachings is for living people, not the departed ones. Although those who have passed away are to be remembered through the spirit of the Dharma. But although death is an unpleasant thing to ponder upon, the teachings of the Buddha say that it is a reality that everyone will encounter someday. So, funerals and memorial services are still an integral part of a temple's activity. The propagation of the Buddha's teachings, however, is and should always be the primary focus of why a temple exists. Still, the reality is that we encounter the deaths of people as part of our job as ministers here, and also among you as members of the Sangha, including people we know on a personal basis. And we still do funerals and memorial services for them. When I did my very first funerals and memorial services, when I first became a minister back in 2010, that's how old I am already, working as a minister, you know, I just came back from Japan, from Chibutsu. It was like deja vu for me. Wow, I thought I was away from death already because I was a nurse before, and I met death again. It felt like I was back in the healthcare profession, where death is the ultimate enemy that we are constantly fighting against. As much as modern medical knowledge and technology would allow, medical professionals keep people alive and try to delay death. For it does not require any religious belief to understand that human life is very precious and fragile. Whether one believes in a religion or not, almost every person likes to live, and death is something that is not pleasant or to be avoided at all cost. There is fear of the unknown, of what lies beyond this life we are living at the moment. There is fear of becoming non-existent. We grieve during the loss of our loved ones, not only because we are no longer with them, with the persons we love, but also encountering death serves as some sort of a painful reminder of our own mortality. That someday we too will go the same way and cease to exist. Unless we have sufficient faith in our religious beliefs, most of us avoid talking about this subject, let alone think about it. It is out of ignorance, of not knowing what's on the other side, that evokes fear and anxiety about dying. Nobody has died and come back to describe the realm of the afterlife or glimpses of it. Or is that really the case? A few years ago, while serving at Makawao Honganji, one of the members there lent me a book titled Dying to Be Me. The author of that book is a woman named Anita Murjani. And in this book, the author relates how, after fighting cancer for almost 4 years, her body began shutting down, overwhelmed by the malignant cells spreading throughout her system. As her organs failed, she lost consciousness and entered into an extraordinary state called near-death experience, where she realized her inherent worth and the actual cause of her disease. Upon regaining consciousness, Anita found that her condition had improved so rapidly that she was released from the hospital within weeks, without a trace of cancer in her body. It seems like an incredible story of miracle healing. These things do happen sometimes in the healthcare field. But I was more interested in the part where she described her near-death experience while in the hospital for cancer treatment. What is a near-death experience, by the way? A near-death experience, or NDE, to abbreviate it, and there's a term in Japanese for that, it's called Rinshi Taiken, refers to personal experiences associated with impending and clinical death, encompassing multiple possible sensations, including detachment from the body, feelings of levitation, total serenity, security, warmth, the experience of absolute dissolution, and the presence of a very bright, intense light. These phenomena oftentimes are reported after an individual has been pronounced clinically dead or has been very close to death. Usually these people, whose vital functions like heartbeat, breathing, and brain activity have stopped, but somehow after resuscitation attempts are revived and able to describe their experience while being actually in a state of death. There are documented cases in hospitals in this country and around the world of how patients who have been pronounced dead by the doctors came back to life a few minutes after their heartbeat and breathing has stopped. This is what's called in the medical profession as a Lazarus syndrome, coming from the Christian biblical story of Lazarus, a person who had been dead for several days already and brought back to life by Jesus Christ. Yeah? Essentially, people who had this near-death experience were actually medically dead. But for reasons which can't be explained scientifically, they returned to a state of being alive again. Now that's scary, yeah? Bringing a body to the morgue and all of a sudden this body just wakes up. I would run in an instant. like that zombie though. Most, although not all of the recorded near-death experiences share common traits. These common traits include the person describing entering a tunnel of intense, pure, bright light, seeing his past departed ones or spirits, and communicating with them. Usually, these people that they communicate with tell them, the dying person, to go back, that it's not his time to die yet. Others report floating out of their bodies. This is called an out-of-body experience. You know, sometimes it happens in the operating or the emergency room. And they actually see their lifeless bodies and all the doctors and nurses and other healthcare professionals working frantically to revive them, to bring them back to life. Medical science still cannot explain precisely why some people who have been dead and revived undergo this experience of near death. One of the theories is that when a person's heart stops or stops beating, blood flow to the brain is interrupted, and the brain gets deprived of oxygen, which can then trigger a release of chemicals and hormones in response. And these substances, they say, act like drugs and induce hallucinations. The dead or dying person may not have been completely dead yet, and these hormones or chemicals released by the brain produce that sensation of seeing lights, leaving one's own body, seeing angels, gods, Buddhas, what have you, or other spiritual beings, and so on. But this theory cannot explain why many who died and came back to life were able to describe details of what the doctors and nurses were doing and saying during the resuscitation process. After being revived, these near-death patients were able to identify faces and uniforms, words exchanged by the healthcare professionals during the resuscitation attempt, and recollection of people who are working on them. One of the most interesting things that happens when these people are revived, you know, they were able to describe these events. And fortunately, in the 28 years that I worked as a nurse, you know, I worked in ICU before, and we did a lot of resuscitation attempts. Usually the patients, when they're revived, they just go into a deep coma. And after that, they wake up and they say, I didn't see anything. But these near-death experiences are an interesting thing, yeah? And what's more interesting is, when a person undergoes this kind of experience, something happens. They are transformed, yeah? People who previously do not believe or did not accept religion, all of a sudden accept religion. People who once were not so generous, all of a sudden, they become more generous towards other people. People who cannot accept death were able to accept death after they have gone into this kind of a near-death experience. And it is an amazing thing. Yeah. So, I have a list here of these experiences that's actually documented worldwide. And what's amazing is it is not only limited to people of Christian, Islamic, or Jewish religion, but also Buddhists as well. They have all undergone this experience and reported the same kind of thing. Buddhists most especially report about the same thing, but at the same time seeing what they describe as a great light and a person. Maybe that could be Buddha himself, we don't know, yeah? But the one thing, after they come back from the dead, the one thing that they report is they understood that the most important thing that a person should strive for is to be more compassionate and have more wisdom. Amazing, yeah? That's very, those are the very two things that constitute what a Buddha is, wisdom and compassion. So these near-death experiences, although we cannot explain medically, they do have some kind of a spiritual transformation happen to people, right? So near-death experiences are reported in all languages in the world. What does that say to us? There is something beyond death, actually. We all fear dying, but when I read these stories, you know, I said, wow, these people undergone this change, right? But still, I am not too confident yet that I want to go through this stage and to find out what the other side of life is. No, I'm still afraid of dying. I'm still afraid of death. That is my bono. And the Buddha understands that. Yeah. It only makes me more resolved to trust in the Buddha's wisdom and compassion and the vow to save me. Yeah. So losing the fear of death is one thing that is very important for all of us. We need not fear it. When we understand the Buddha's teaching, we understand that life and death are inseparable. There is a poster out there, actually, that says something about that, you know. Unfortunately, I lost my copy. But it says something like that, you know, when we attain Shinjin, birth and death becomes nirvana itself. How do we explain that? Because without birth, there is no death. Without death, there is no birth. Right? So nirvana is emptiness itself. Okay? The topic I choose as the title for this talk is called You Only Live Twice. It is not about the James Bond movie back in the 60s, no. What it means is you only live twice. The first time is when you're born, and the second time is when you face death. And that is facing death without fear. Let's put our hands together in gassho and recite the Nembutsu in conclusion. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu.